God's working in each of your lives, and it's just a blessing, and glad to be here. Tonight, as I was thinking about communion, even in some of the testimonies you hear, you know, it's we want to serve the Lord, and we want to do His will, and so we're often looking out there or thinking about tomorrow. What's God calling me to? What's God want me to do? But as Marcus said tonight for communion, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. So it's a time when we remember what he did for us. And tomorrow, if our foundation isn't on Jesus and what he did for us on the cross, we're not going to be successful tomorrow. We're not going to serve him the way that he wants us to. So we have to be reminded and keep that his sacrifice vivid in our minds. And so it's a blessing to be able to do that with the church tonight, and I want to share a few thoughts along those lines, a little bit of a shorter message here. But you think about communion, I don't know how you feel when you come. I've come feeling different at different times. I would like a real deep feeling or a real strong experience. Sometimes I've had kind of stronger feelings than others. Sometimes, to be honest, I've kind of just felt a little bit numb, but it's like I remember what he did, and I want to do this in obedience. But something I was convicted of recently, I read something, reading about doubt, and this person said, often when we doubt, we tend to ignore the things that we do know. You know, we focus on these big questions or things like that, but there's things that we know. There's things that we've experienced. You can look back in your life and you can see the hand of God in your life working. And when we doubt, we kind of just, those fade off into the back and we try and look for something else, something bigger. But we need to remember those things, remember those times, even if they're small. And talk about communion, it can sometimes get complicated. It's good verses, good thoughts, but like in Psalm 22, I believe it's talking about Jesus' death on the cross, and it says things like, many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gape upon me with their mouths open as ravening and roaring lions. And I can sometimes get a little bit, it gets over my head. I think we need to keep looking at those things. You hear words like propitiation, and you probably got to go look it up in the dictionary. I know I do to have to remind myself what it means. Started talking about when Jesus was on the cross, and not only was he suffering physically, but then what was going on in the spiritual realm. And you get different pictures of that, and I think those are good things to think about. But often for me, I can come to a place where it's just, I have to admit, I just don't get it. It doesn't quite totally connect to me at the level I'm at. And I want to repeat, I'm not saying we shouldn't look at those things. But tonight, I wanted to read a story. I think you've probably all heard it, but it's not, theologians could pick it apart and say it's not the exact picture of what Jesus did on the cross. But what it does for me is just puts things in perspective of somebody substituting for somebody else, real pain that you can experience. We've all felt pain to a certain level. And so I just like to read this story and then read a few verses. And this is a story, it says, this is a true story told in the mountains of Virginia. And I'm not the smoothest reader, but the way this is written, it's leaving a little bit harder to read for me, but I'll just read it. Many years ago, there was a school which no teacher could control. The boys attending that school were very rough. A young teacher applied for that job, and he was told by the director, young feller, do you know what you're doing? He explained that every teacher we have had for years has had to take a beating. The young teacher replied, I will risk it. When the new teacher started, there was this one big student named Tom, and he was as rough as they come. He looked the new teacher up and down and said, I can lick him myself. The teacher said, good morning, boys. We have come to conduct school. Now hear me. I want a good school, but I need your help. Suppose we have a few rules. You tell me, and I'll write them down on the blackboard. One fellow yelled, no stealing. Another yelled, be on time. Finally, 10 rules appeared. Now, said the teacher, a law is no good unless there's a penalty. What shall we do if someone breaks the rules? They all agreed that whoever broke a rule would receive 10 lashes on his back without his coat on. The teacher said, "Are you sure? Will you stand behind it?" They all agreed to the new rules. Then school started. In a day or so, Big Tom found his lunch was stolen. Upon inquiry, the thief was a hungry little boy. He was about 10 years old. The next morning, the teacher announced, "We have found the thief, and he must be punished according to your rule. 10 stripes across the back." He said, "Jim, come up here." The little fellow, trembling, came up slowly with a big coat fastened up to the neck and pleaded, "Teacher, you can lick me as hard as you like, but please don't make me take my coat off." "Take that coat off. You help make the rules. Please, teacher, don't make me." He began to unbutton, and what did the teacher see? The lad had no shirt on and a very bony body. The teacher was thinking, "How can I whip this child?" Everyone was very quiet in the room. "How come you have no shirt on?" Jim replied. "My father died and my mother is very poor. I have only one shirt to my name, and she is washing that today. I wore my brother's big coat to keep me warm." Just then, Big Tom jumped to his feet. "Teacher, I will take Jim's licking for him." "Very well. There is a certain law that one can become a substitute for another. Are you all agreed?" Off came Tom's coat, and after 5 hard strokes, the rod broke. The teacher thought, "How can I finish this awful task?" Then he heard the entire school sobbing. And what did he see? Little Jim had reached up and caught Tom with both arms around the neck. "Tom, I'm sorry I stole your lunch, but I was awfully hungry. Tom, I will love you till the day I die for taking my licking for me. Yes, I will love you forever. Friend, you have broken every rule and deserve punishment, but Jesus Christ took your whipping for you and died in your place. Christians should be like Jim and say to the Lord, 'I'll love you forever for taking my licking for me.'" So, like I said, I'm sure many of you have heard that story. One of the fathers came in and read that for Tuesday morning devotions, but it always stood out in my mind. And like I said, theologians could probably pick it apart, but it gives you a real life, real example of somebody taking on somebody else's pain, somebody who was weak and helpless, and that's what we are in our sins. And Jesus is willing to take our punishment upon him. And a verse I'd like to read, if you want to turn there, is in Isaiah 53, some verses. Often we read in one of the Gospels or in 1 Corinthians, but about this evening reading Isaiah 53, and the phrase, "by his wounds we are healed," has been in my head ever since Gospel Echoes are here. They sang a song, and this is where that song came from. And, you know, all these things, all these different ways of trying to explain what Jesus did for us, is it comes down to, in simple language, very simple language, it's so much bigger than this, but he took our licking for us. And this says it very clearly, and this isn't a human story. This is straight out of the Bible. This is what it says in Isaiah chapter 53, starting in verse 3. It says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken." And so it's just a clear, it's prophetic of what Jesus did for us on the cross, for all men. And you know, this the blood that was shed for us, which is what the juice represents, and the body that was broken, we often look to the cross, and that's where ultimately the shed was, for the most part, the blood was shed for the most part there. That's where the death occurred. But the one thought I had was, and I heard something that triggered this in my mind, was, you know, the first drop of blood that came out of Jesus, he didn't deserve any of it. The first punch on the chin, the thorns going into his head, there was blood there too. There was blood all the way from where that started, the flogging, all the way to the cross. And he didn't deserve any of it. It was all because of our transgressions and because of our sins. And he stood in that place and paid the price for us. There's another story, just telling this one from memory, what I heard. And it was there was a carpenter working for a customer. And in this situation, the customer was a Christian and the carpenter wasn't. And so as the carpenter would work, the Christian was talking to him about the Lord. And finally, one day, the carpenter just kind of threw what he was working on. And he said, "It's not fair." He said, "It's not fair. God would make us, and then we sin, and then he makes us pay for our sins. Why did he make us?" And kind of did a little rampage there. And the customer, homeowner, said, "Well, do you think it would be fair if God came down here and paid for all of your sins and died for your sins?" And the guy said, "Yeah, that'd be fair." Well, this guy obviously was out of place for even thinking that. But what this person showed him is that is exactly what God did. And it wasn't actually even fair. This person complaining was totally looking at it wrong. It's not fair that God had to come down here and die for our sins, but he did it anyways. If we want fairness, we pay for our sins. That's just all there is to it. God didn't make us sin. Yeah, he created us, but he didn't make us sin. So that person kind of had to just cover their mouth, because it's like, well, not only have I sinned, but you're telling me God came down here and paid for my sins also. And that's what happened. And I think of when you realize that, I think of Job, where when he really sees God, it says he puts his hand over his mouth. He just realizes how small he is and how much God did for us. And so just want to reiterate a few of these verses. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we just did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for..." that you could put in "my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities, and the chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." And thinking about communion tonight and doing that together, it you know, when you see other people's faith, it encourages you. And for the children, younger people that aren't members yet, when they see somebody stand up and they recognize, this person remembers, this person believes that Jesus died for his sins, and it's an encouragement. And then for those that have already received that, you just it builds you up, and you see, you know what, here's another brother, here's another sister that is trusting in the Lord. So we all are encouraged, and we're all part of this through our faith in Christ. We're all part of the same body, which Jesus' body was broken for us, and we're in Christ. This represents that. So, and then also thinking about, somebody's probably going to talk a little bit about foot washing, but serving one another. And if Jesus says, "If I'm your Lord and Master, have done this unto you," we should do it to each other. And just thinking about the sacrifice on the cross, how much he paid, and then the story we read about being able to thinking of the message also, standing in the gap for each other, looking out for the needs of others. And that's all I had. Maybe bow for a prayer, and then we'll turn the time over to William. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this day.